שומר רבם. ועל מה דיברה תירותך, וימליך מלכותך, ויצמח תמותנך, ויקרב משיחך. וחייכון...
This is The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Thanks so much for listening. It is a somber moment in Israel today as leaders from around the world in Jerusalem pay their final respects to Shimon Peres, one of the last surviving founders of Israel and a player on its political stage for decades. Peres died this week at the age of 93.
What we are doing today is more than signing an agreement. It is a revolution. Yesterday, a dream. Today, a commitment.
That is Shimon Peres at the signing of the 1993 Oslo Peace Accords, signed on the White House lawn 23 years ago this month. That was a moment of hope that won the Nobel Peace Prize for Peres, Yasser Arafat of the PLO, and Yitzhak Rabin, Israel's prime minister. Peres, in that moment, glimpsed his dream of an Israel that would be part of a dynamic, multiracial and multi-ethnic region, leading in education, prosperity, and justice in the Middle East. The story of the Oslo Peace Accords, spurred by a group of unlikely Norwegian diplomats, is a grand drama of history and human courage, and it is told in the successful play Oslo, coming to Broadway after a brilliant run at the Lincoln Center Mitzi Newhouse Theater here in New York. Oslo is written by playwright J.T. Rogers, who met Shimon Peres as he was writing his play and very much wanted Peres to see it. Oslo captures the hope that seemed always just out of reach for the Israeli leader.
I think he, like everyone that I talked to who was involved in the Oslo process, they all are passionate, or in his case, were passionate about the story details of that event being constantly sent out in the world as, in some ways, these are my words, not his, but a bulwark against the world we're living in now. And we live in a time now where the idea of compromise between governments, between people, is now looked on as foolish, even weak, dangerous. And here's an event, and from the Israeli side, an architect of that event, who believe the opposite, who believe that no matter how awful things are, you must look at your enemy. When I was working on the play, and a lot as I would think about Peres as I was writing it, I had among many quotes on my wall where I was writing the Roman playwright Terence from 2,000 years ago, who said, anything that is human is not alien to me. And that's what I found so remarkable about the Oslo process and about Peres himself, is that they were willing to say, yes, you are my enemy, and we have personally or collectively called for your blood, and yet I must see you as a human being, and I must know you. And that is an extraordinary thing, both theatrically and in life.
Did you sense that quality when you met him?
Well, on top of everything else, he was a consummate politician. So like an actor or a politician, there was always a sense of a slight presentation of the self that you wanted the world to know. But I did adore the fact that when I met him, I was ushered into this enormous ballroom in a swank hotel on the Upper East Side with security everywhere. He was there for a UN event. And there was no one in the entire restaurant but he at the far end of an enormous table that could set up eight. And I'm brought slowly, myself and director Bart Scheer, to sit before him. And a waiter comes in very quietly, who obviously knows what the great man wants, and sets an enormous goblet of red wine and just steps back. And he just touches it, has a sip, puts it down, a moment that I put in the play. And then we just talk for a little bit.
Did he see Oslo? Did he see this play? Was he going to?
He was scheduled to come. I had been speaking at great length with his staff. They let him know that he had been told by diplomats around the world who had seen it, oh, you must see it. You're in it, you'll like that. It's, you know, it's true in its essence to what happened. So we had worked out this very elaborate plan for him to come. And then as plans became clear, they were going to move to a larger venue in a Broadway run this spring. My idea was come, see the matinee, and then speak to 1,000 people about your experience of seeing the play and then what it was really like. And now he's left us, and I will have wished that I had that experience.
It seems in thinking about that time and that period of peacemaking being so at hand and possible that the cast of characters, the whole repertory company of people who might have made peace in the Middle East is gone.
The people that we know now are gone, but there are always people that are pushing for peace. They're often derided. I mean, it's got to be a lonely, lonely place to be in Israel right now to hold those points of view, just the way it's been incredibly lonely in our country at certain points. The first thing I thought when I read that he had died was one of the many magnificent phrases that he'd sort of sprinkled across literature and politics in his life. And the one that came to mind was, there are two things you should never do in public, make love or make peace. And I think as controversial as the Oslo Accords were and still are, I think his life and what they achieved is proof positive that there you must sit away from the cameras, away from prying eyes, and get to know those who you are supposed to hate. I mean, I only pray that the Democratic Party and the National Rifle Association are sitting in a room somewhere quietly, a representative from each, talking slowly, laboriously about, well, what could we agree on? Part of me fears that's living in the climate we have now where to compromise is almost evil on all sides. That may not be happening, but the Oslo process and the life of Shimon Peres, to me, shows that that is a necessity.
I interviewed Shimon Peres a number of times and also saw him speak. He loved to speak to young people, and he would always tell them, go into politics. It's something you must do. It's what we need, young people in politics. I think you've got a sense of his loneliness, not being absolutely assured that there were folks behind him committed to doing what he wanted to do.
I think that actual optimism in the face of tragedy, knowing how tragic and brutal and awful the world is, yet refusing to accept that that is the end of everything, is it's extraordinary. It is, as I said, Shakespearean and almost Greek in his view and his push to go on. I can't go on. I must go on.
J.T. Rogers is the author of the play Oslo, moving to the Vivian Beaumont Theater on Broadway here in New York City. Thank you.
My great pleasure.
I'm Ira Flatow, host of Science Friday. For over 30 years, our team has been reporting high-quality news about science, technology, and medicine. News you won't get anywhere else. And now that political news is 24/7, our audience is turning to us to know about the really important stuff in their lives. Cancer, climate change, genetic engineering, childhood diseases. Our sponsors know the value of science and health news. For more sponsorship information, visit sponsorship.wnyc.org.